Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Claire, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. As I said to you last week, one of the positives of this lockdown is it means we're getting to talk to lots of sports people we would never have even considered. You definitely fall into that category.
Outside the box, for sure.
So tell us a bit about yourself anyway. We'll get on to your sporting exploits in a moment. Just talk to me a bit about your background, first of all. How does somebody begin life to become a free diver? Is there a special course you have to do? Is there a special path in life? Or did you just fall into it?
No, I completely fell into it, kind of like I fell into quite a few of my previous jobs. So I have a background in theatre, a master's in movement. I worked as a puppeteer for years, a singing coach, a performer. So then moving into free diving was quite the departure. So I was traveling in, I think it was 2015, and, you know, doing bits of snorkeling. I would have done a lot of swimming as a kid and also sea swimming. So, it was very comfortable in the water. So snorkeling when I was away traveling, a couple of lads I was with kicked down from the surface and went into a cave and then came out the other side. I thought this was the coolest thing in the world. So I tried to do it myself, and sure, my ears stopped me immediately. So later on that evening, I asked them pretty nonchalantly what that was, and they explained it was free diving. So that evening, I looked up where did beginner's courses, and got myself over to the island of Utilla and started the beginner's course there. And then I went straight on to the advanced and then spent a few weeks diving. And then the following year, came back to do more. The following year after that, I stayed there for 9 months, I think.
So if you were asked in one sentence to describe what free diving is, to define what free diving is, what would your response be?
The sport of holding your breath in water.
You make it sound so easy.
Coming up with a sentence isn't even easy.
anything but. So how does somebody go from an interest in swimming, an interest in snorkeling, to the sport of free diving? What was it that you saw that day, even though that you had the pain in your ears, that you said, yeah, this is worth exploring?
Well, it just seemed like something I could do. I was only thinking about this recently, and I think a few months previously I had been, again, kind of snorkeling in the Galapagos. It sounds like I'm place dropping here, but I was traveling. And I remember being underwater and seeing one of the locals dive. And it was 100% the closest thing to a merman I've ever seen in my life. It was incredible how they moved in the water. Like, they've been doing this all their life. It just blew me away. And when I saw the lads doing it again a couple of months later, I thought, hey, you know, I want to see what this is. And again, I think when you're in traveling mode, as I call it, you know, you're more open to trying different things. You know, I'd gone ziplining, I'd gone parachute jumping, which I'd never do here, paragliding's the word. And I'd never do that here. I'd done scuba diving. So this was just something else to try while I was away, and thought it would stay that way, something that, you know, you did on your travels and then that was it. So I tried to give it up when I came home, but it hasn't really worked out like that.
Okay, so it's like one of those lingering holiday romances that continues on afterwards. You arrive back to Ireland, and obviously climate alone as an example. So how do you still continue? What was the next step in continuing the free diving adventure once you got back?
So when I got back after first experiencing it in 2015, and I took to the pool because there is disciplines that you can do in the pool. So I spent a good bit of that winter training in pool. And then the following summer, I went away again. And so I returned, whatever, September 2016. And that's when I start putting plans in place to leave and spend much longer doing it. So February the following year, I left for 9 months, came home for my mum's birthday, and then headed off again to do a little bit more. So I spent much of 2017 doing it because here, you know, our water isn't conducive to depth training, I suppose. It's perfect for, you know, kicking around and snorkel, and certainly out west there are some great spots. But here we don't have as big a community, and safety obviously is paramount in the sport. So doing it with people who are experienced, who know what they're doing, who know that the currents is really important. So, you know, when I'm in Ireland, I really, really miss it. But I do swim in the sea a lot. In fact, I dip in the sea pretty much every day of the year, and certainly five times a week all year round. So for me, that's a connection to the water. So that's my winter activity. And then by summer, I'm usually transitioning into heading off diving again. So that's, I suppose, that would be the ideal lifestyle. And I've been trying to transition into that somewhat successfully.
You mentioned your mom's birthday at the start of that conversation there. When you came home and said, I've taken up the sport of free diving, and you explained it, paint the picture of the response that greeted that.
Well, the funny thing is, mum doesn't swim at all. Mum hates the water. Like, I don't even think she gets her face wet in the shower. She really hates it. So at the time, I had been scuba diving, and she'd seen this, and she just accepts it as something Claire does, and I suppose tries not to think about it too much. So when I told her I was free diving, her response was, oh, great, you know, you don't have to pay for your scuba anymore. That's not what free diving is. But funnily, around the same time, she texted me, and on the radio was another Irish diver called Fergus Callaghy. So he operates out in Mullaghmore. He was on the radio talking about what free diving was and explaining it. So it was quite coincidental, the timing of that. So she texted me and said, hang on a second, I've just learned what free diving is. But, you know, my parents are absolutely super, as is the rest of my family. You know, I've worked as a puppeteer. I worked in theatre. And I suppose they're just used to me coming up with different projects that are maybe a little bit outside the box. But they always get on board and just row in behind me. Like my parents and my sister and brother-in-law came over to Nice last year to support me in the World Championship. So that was amazing. You know, it's quite a big journey from what the hell is free diving? What are you doing? To being over to support me.
Okay. It's been a remarkable journey to get to that point. We'll come back to that in a moment. You mentioned Fergus there as well too. Yeah. What is the free diving community in Ireland? How many people, is it into double figures?
Honestly, I don't know. I know there are a lot of people, certainly there's some around Dublin, down Cork, out west. I wouldn't have tapped into it too much if I'm being honest. My interest is more in depth training, and I was, you know, time spent in the water. I wanted to do that, you know, so going away. I haven't really tapped into it a whole much. I've met up with Fergus a couple of times. He's absolutely super. And I've started doing some courses here to try and, I suppose, grow the community and grow the safety aspect of diving, which would be, I suppose, a pet subject of mine.
Talk to me about safety. And like, when I think of what you do, you know, the question is, how dangerous is it? In a nutshell,
it's funny. I was only talking to my flatmate the other night, and he's a diver as well, and he wants to get a motorbike. I said, "Are you cracked? That's so dangerous." And he just looked at me. He's like, "You free dive?" I was like, "Yeah, but that's safe." So it's funny. We had quite a real conversation about the dangers of free diving, and he's a diver too. So it was interesting talking about it from that point of view. I suppose there's rules to the sport, and there is obviously an inherent danger. You know, you're holding your breath underwater. A lot can go wrong. you know, it's supposedly the second most dangerous sport. I don't actually know what the first is. But I find it hard to think about it like that because my experience of it is so serene, calming. Much of the practices that you have to do to get in the water are about, you know, mindfulness, meditation, relaxation, awareness. So that just doesn't match with this idea of extreme. I suppose when you're going to the other end of it being a competitive sport, and then certainly if you witness some competitions, yeah, you can see how it is extreme. But, you know, there is the primary rule is never dive alone. And we'd be pretty strict on that. And to me, you know, take a step further, only dive with someone who you know, who knows you, say similar level of experience, if not higher, and knows what to do if something happens.
How do you train on a day-to-day basis? So for something like this, how much of your training is even nowhere near the water? You were talking there about mindfulness and meditation and things like that. Is that 50% of what you do?
Yeah, probably more. When I'm actually training and diving, I'm a lot more strict or structured with what I do out of the water. I suppose now there's no dangling carrot of hitting depth. I'm a little bit more lax about my practices. But yeah, a lot of it is meditation, mobility. Other people will have their different routines, whether it's visualization practices, journaling, stretching, mobility, lung stretches, practicing holding your breath. All these kind of things feed into what happens in the water. And obviously, you know, you need to get those techniques down before you start trying them underwater.
Okay. What is the objective when you free dive? Is it how long you can hold your breath or how far down you can go?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And the answer is both. So there's different disciplines. So there's a pool discipline called static apnea. So you're lying still on the surface of the water and your airways, so mouth and nose, are submerged. And that's measured in time. So that's the longest breath hold you'll have. And then there are the depth disciplines, which are measured in meters below the surface.
And which category do you compete in? Both?
Mainly depth, though. I love depth. I think a lot of divers prefer, you know, the open water stuff as opposed to a pool. It's all about the big blue.
And that's something that we've mentioned already, that famous Luc Besson film from almost 30 years ago now. Can you remember it?
I do indeed.
It didn't spark any interest way back when, that's been sitting in the back of your mind for the last 25 years waiting to come out?
I know I'd seen it before, but it wasn't until the last, 18 months that I watched it again, in the context of freediving. I just remember seeing it years ago and it didn't really have a huge impact on me, but now it's pretty much the freediving go-to.
Yeah, how, because we've often seen movies and adaptations and their reality versus the Hollywoodization of it can be very different. How close to reality was that film?
Relatively close.
She says with a smile. Okay, so paint the picture. You're in Nice, and you're in competition. You're bobbing somewhere in the Mediterranean, I presume. Just to talk me through the day of competition, and we'll say the night before, the morning, and the actual competition itself, and what exactly happened.
So I had three dives, so three different disciplines. And the morning of the first dive was actually the first day of competition overall. So it started off with women's no fins dive, which is a discipline. And it's funny, I wasn't particularly nervous. I felt quite emotional, actually. There was a lot of people over supporting me. Randomly, a few Irish people were in Nice. They'd seen that this is happening. They'd heard as an Irish person. So as Irish people do best, really rode in to support me. I found that really overwhelming, incredible, but overwhelming. The conditions weren't super, and a combination of nerves, overthinking, conditions got the best of me, and I ended up having a small blackout at the end of my dive when I got to the surface. So that
you
died.
You say that very matter of factly, Claire. I'm sweating at the thought of it.
No. The word blackout doesn't have positive connotations in any context. But I think it is a part of the sport. It's just the further end of hypoxia. There's such tight safety procedures. You know, you're absolutely fine. This happened on the surface. It was a couple of seconds. It was a really difficult one, I have to say. It was hard to mentally then buck up and shake it off and prepare for the next two dives, because I really didn't think it would have happened. I was well prepared. I was really conservative what I announced. So it was a relatively shallow dive. The whole thing was, you know, give myself a nice experience to kick off the competition and put my nerves at ease a little bit. And that did not happen. So
mentally, though, we'll say blacking out at the best of times in your own sitting room would be frightening enough. But blacking out in the water, how do you conquer the fear that I would expect would come with something like that?
I haven't done that dive again. I haven't done that discipline since. So my plans for 2020 was to really put that demon to rest, that particular discipline. It's called no fins, and you're propelling yourself down using a variation on breaststroke. So the plan for 2020 was to make that discipline my complete comfort zone. And I'll still do it.
Come back. So to me. So we've had the blackout. The medics pass you off. Everything is fine.
Yeah, so I remember coming up, and I remember I was 10 meters from the surface because a safety diver was in front of me. I remember angling my body so that I'd come up in the right position, and then I don't remember anything else. I've seen the video, and I come up to the surface, and I liken it to, did you ever fall asleep on a bus or public transport and you just kind of nod your head down and then jerk back awake? See, there's no moment of I'm conscious and now I'm not conscious. It's just, kind of a melting into unconsciousness. I don't remember it. So the last thing I remember is looking up and seeing the platform and the surface. And then the next thing I remember was a French man giving me a kiss, actually, as I was coming out of the water. So he was, helping me resuscitate me, or, bring me back or whatever. So I think I was like unconscious for maybe six, seven seconds. It wasn't that long, but my memory around it is just a little bit fuzzy.
But in terms of that time, though, are you not inhaling water?
No. So what happens is you get what's called a laryngospasm. So your larynx closes, which stops any air getting into you, any water getting into your lungs, but it also stops air getting in. So If that doesn't break, for want of a better phrase, itself, you can do a rescue breath, and that just breaks that lock. And that's what that Frenchman was doing. He wasn't just being particularly amorous.
what depth were you at, we'll say, at the deepest part of that dive?
Oh, yeah. That was a 30-meter dive, I think. So that was relatively shallow for that discipline.
I love the way you say kind of, 30 meters, 90 feet, relatively shallow. Whereas most of us, like if we got to 9 feet down, we would be stressed. Just back to something you mentioned there a little earlier as well too, Claire, was in relation to the issue with the ears. And you asked the guide at the very start. Of course, any of us that have ever jumped into water or have gone snorkeling, the pressure in the ears, how do you overcome that?
Yeah, so, that's probably, there are two elements to free diving: equalization, which is equalizing the pressure in your ears, and relaxation. So, we play free dive bingo when there's a group of free divers sitting around, like you have your bingo cards. And as soon as they start talking about EQ, take a sip of beer or whatever. It's an incessant topic of conversation for free divers. So equalization, or EQ, is, it's one of the primary factors in determining how deep you can be, you can go. So, you know, there's lots of different techniques to do it. You get it when you're in a plane or when you're scuba diving. A lot of people pinch their nose and fire air up from their lungs. Obviously, we have to be a lot more conservative because we have a limited amount of air. So being relaxed is really important for working your optimum amount of equalization. Is that right?
Let's go back to Nice. So you've had your encounter with the very nice Frenchman who was only doing his job and nothing more than that.
Arno.
how do we progress then in the competition? Are we a day to the next phase?
So that dive was a Sunday. As soon as it happened, I went to the medical boat, and was put on oxygen. I had my stats taken, and I was absolutely fine. I was grand. Went back to my family. They were super. And actually, what's a really lovely memory is there was a delay on the screen. So my parents had been watching it live, streaming it. And then there's a screen in the athlete's village where they're showing the dives. So my dive came on, and there was a gang of about 20 of us in, like, we were carrying tricolors, like we used to call it the Irish village. And other athletes came over to watch my dive. And if goodwill could have changed the outcome, it would have. Like, it was just hilarious. Everyone was shouting, come on, Claire, come on, Claire. And I'm going, lads, we know what happens at the end. Spoiler. But just, it was incredible. The good feeling of everyone. It was just so Irish. It was terrific compared to other pockets of people who were just really calmly observing what was happening. So that's actually one of my favorite moments afterwards. So that was a Sunday. That was the Sunday. And the next dive was due to happen on the Tuesday. And I remember getting up Tuesday morning, preparing, started stretching, did my meditation. Weather wasn't great. They had done three dives and then they had postponed for an hour. So I was in my apartment going, do I head down to the village or not? Trying to text people, but sure, if they're out on the platform, they don't have their phones. So trying to figure out what I do, because if I am to dive and it's not for a few hours, I'm not waiting around in that because nerves will really kick in. As it turned out, it was cancelled for the day. So it was pushed back again. So I had to wait from Sunday to Thursday to the next dive. Those days were difficult.
But was it not more of a help, though, I would have thought, after the scare that you had? No?
No. I needed to get back on the horse. I kind of had more time to build it up. And I just had a fear it would happen again. I just hadn't seen it coming. I just didn't think it would happen. So I just was scared it was going to happen again. So I ended up announcing really conservatively. So a really easy dive. It was a different discipline. I'd be a little bit more comfortable in it. And it's great. The video of the end of that dive, the next one, is just a demonstration of pure relief. That's it. Pure relief. So that was terrific. And then it meant the next dive I could go into with a little bit more confidence.
And you certainly did go in with plenty of confidence, didn't you?
Like, I don't know. The whole experience was a lot more stressful than I think I'd ever anticipated. So I don't think confidence ever was a factor. I think more of an acceptance of what will be, will be. And it's easy now kind of reassuring myself and saying, ah, for feck's sake, Claire, you know, it's an easy dive to do, the one I had planned for the Saturday, the third dive. But just so much, you know, your headspace is such a big part of what happens underwater. So there's just no telling, really.
That last dive, though, was to prove to be, fair to say, one of your greatest sporting moments?
No, I don't think so. It's funny, the dive before was probably my favorite dive, just from the relief factor. And I think I was just glad to be done. I was glad to be done. I came home from the World Championships, and it was the week of it was a few days before my sister's wedding. So kind of came home from 3 months of intense training and then competition to family wedding, which was crazy in itself. But the day after the wedding, a little bit worse for wear, I'll admit, I just I had decided I just wasn't done for the year. The World Championships had been so stressful. I hadn't dived like I thought I would or had hoped to. So I booked a place in a competition in Cyprus in October and then headed off 2 days later to go train for that. So that was a really nice palate cleanser. I became a lot more comfortable competition. And that was my goal for 2021, was to just build up more experience competing, because it's totally different than just diving for yourself. So I did 5 competition dives in Cyprus, set some more national records, and just overall had a far nicer diving experience. So it was really great to end the season like that. I'm really glad of that opportunity.
So how many records do you hold now?
I think I hold 3 of the 4 depth disciplines, I think.
In the world?
No, Ireland. Just Ireland. No. I think so. Yeah, 3 of the 4 probably. I'm not 100% sure.
And we were talking about depth and you were kind of laughing about the 90 feet, the 30 meters. So what is your deepest dive?
So my deepest dive is 60 meters. My deepest dive in a competition is 50.
And how long are you underwater for something like that?
I'm not the best judge because I am slow. I am a slow diver. So let me see, 50 meter dive is just under 2 minutes, I think. I have quickened it up a lot. I used to be quite slow. Just under 2 minutes.
And how long can you hold your breath for then?
The million-dollar question always of free diving. 5 minutes, 59 seconds.
That is phenomenal.
It's a bit mad.
You just kind of laugh at the fact of it there, Claire, but nearly 6 minutes.
Yeah, it is. Like, I suppose I hang out and train with free divers who are way out of my league. They're you know, the big shots. So I'm used to training with them. So I'm always the baby. So my numbers are always so much lower than any of those guys. So I'm kind of used to that. But I think, obviously, when I say, you know, you can hold your breath for 6 minutes, it's pretty incredible. The world record for a woman is 9 minutes and 2 seconds. I've watched the video of that dive and it is just mind-blowing. She lifts her head up after holding her breath for nine minutes, 2 seconds, like it was nothing. Like it was nothing. That, I think, is incredible.
And how much of that is training, and or how much of it is genetics in the same way that certain people are better runners, certain people are better basketball players, certain people are better soccer players? Is there any science behind it?
Yeah, there is. Like the top male athlete, I think, has had all those tests done and has learned that he has no genetic predisposition to free diving. And yet he's dived to 104 meters doing that breaststroke. Like, it's just mind-blowing. I think for me, I'm comfortable in the water. That makes a difference. And I've done a lot of singing over the years, so I have a really good awareness of my breath, where I carry tension in terms of jaw, neck, and so on. And that makes a huge difference. So when I did my first breath hold, I got to 4:07, I think, which is really, really good for a beginner. Really good. But then I plateaued for a long time. In fact, I went back to 3 minutes and then to 2 minutes at one stage before I jumped up again. So I think that, like, I've been doing breath work, speech and drama, singing since I was 5 years old. So I definitely think that's carried on. Also, how I equalize my ears is a little bit different. I don't touch my face. I can contract, if that's the word, my eustachian tubes, so the tubes in your ears, which would be unusual enough. So I do have an advantage in that sense. But honestly, what I love about freediving, and I'm an instructor as well, what I love about teaching people how to hold their breath is they invariably surprise themselves. You know, so you hear numbers like 6 minutes, 5 minutes, 9 minutes. So you think, oh gosh, I'm going to be so nervous. I'm going to be the person who doesn't even get 30 seconds. You know, everyone surprises themselves. And that's what I genuinely love about it. You know, beginners get from anything from whatever, 1:30 up to 3 up to 4 minutes. It really is quite a mental game. It's reflective of, I suppose, where you are with your own headspace, how comfortable you are dealing with discomfort, how you are around positive, you know, talk. It's something that can be developed.
And speaking of developing things, that's leading us nicely into the other strand of your life. You're building a business around your sport now.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I have quite a diverse background in terms of work. You know, like, I'm a puppeteer, I've done singing, taught choirs, taught drama, movement, and so on. And when I tell people this, they kind of go, what? But for me, there's always been a through line, and that is the breath. So I've brought together some of my skills, because there's a lot of crossovers. I teach freediving techniques to singers, and I teach singing to freedivers. And then stuff around posture alignment that I would have done in my master's. Yeah, starting to package them all together. I think what's great now is that there's an emphasis on wellness and a recognition that breath is kind of the foundation of that. So, you know, I'm just offering another way into that. There's terrific work being done by Neil Overku, Breathe with Niall. He does some really super work. He's a Wim Hof instructor. Lots of other people, you know, doing this. And obviously pranayama, breath work, has been around in yoga for years and years and years. So I'm just offering, like I said, a different way into it, a different perspective. And I'm getting a really, really good response.
Great. So, and if people want to avail of your talents and your services, Claire, how do they find you?
So they can find me on clairewalshlife.com or on Instagram or Twitter at clairewalshlife.
No, as I said, hopefully the lockdown starting to ease will be good news for you on two fronts. What does the future hold? When do you hope to be back in the water properly?
Oh, I really don't know. I should be there now. I should have been there in April, and then training. I was supposed to be training now, back home in July, gone in August again. So at the moment, I'm just not making any plans for the rest of 2020 until I have a better idea of what this year is going to look like in terms of travel. So I'm hoping early 2021 I can go away and train a little bit. I had a fantastic sponsor on board. And because of the last few months, he's had to quieten things down a little bit. So, hopefully 2021 is going to be a good diving year. And obviously there'll be a World Championships as well. So hoping to go and represent again.
Thanks again for joining us on the Irish Examiner Sports Podcast. And don't forget, you can read the full Irish Examiner and every supplement just as they are printed, anytime, anywhere, on your phone, your PC, or your tablet, using our e-paper. Just visit irishexaminer.com/e-paper for all the details.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear, and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.